We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we always beg Allah consciously to keep us steadfast on His obedience and to enable us to make shukr for the bounties. A lot of times people make shukr, but they don't even know. Saying shukr, everything is okay. But the man got major problems at that point in time. So when we make shukr, make it with real appreciation and consciousness. And also we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep all His blessings on us despite our weaknesses, despite our disobedience. We ask Allah must not take away anything from us, because we cannot do without one single minute blessing of Allah ta'ala also. We need all of the blessings of Allah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, respected friends and brothers, from among the blessings is that we are present here for the Jummah Salah, because the blessing of Iman was given to us. There isn't a greater gift that anyone has got, that he has got Iman, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman, alhamdulillah, is a guarantee for entry into Jannah. You got your ticket, alhamdulillah. So we must make shukr for that also. Nowadays we hear such scary stories of how people abandon their Iman consciously and unconsciously. They say such terrible things about the deen, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the Quran, about whatever it might be, not realizing that they just walk out of the pale of Islam. And others, out of ignorance, they harbor such thoughts that intellectually we can say in their mind already they have renegated from the deen. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Coupled to that, my respected friends and brothers, Allah has not only given us the deen, He has not only commanded us to worship Him, but He has given us the way of how to obey Him. How to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if that particular method and way was not shown to us, we would have had no idea of how to worship Allah. Can you imagine? Allah said, worship me. Somebody would have been running around a masjid. Somebody would have been standing on his head and thinking, that's how I worship my Allah. And somebody would have been doing some other crazy things. And people do crazy things nowadays. And we ask, what are these people doing? They say, no, they belong to a certain religion. And this is their form of worship. And it just does not make sense to anybody. And we ask them, what is the history? How did they come to this? It's even more crazier than the actual act. So, my brothers, we need to make shukr that Allah gave us Iman, ordered us to obey Him, and He showed us how to obey Him, how to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? The best way, my respected friends and brothers. The best way. Other day, now in the week, somebody was talking and I overheard, he's saying, which is the best way to go to Durban? Because now Easter is coming, you know, people have to go for holidays. So the fellow is saying, the best way to go to Durban is not that road, not that road, this particular road. Because on this road here, it's not much traffic, there's no potholes, and whatever it is in terms of time and whatever it might be. So we are all looking for the best way. And in anything else also, we will always look for the best way. Somebody wants to travel overseas, he will ask someone who has been on that way, which is the best way to get there? How is the best flight? What is the best hotels? What is the best places to visit? We're looking for the best. And even in our normal daily life, if somebody wants to open a business and he has no idea of how to go about it, he'll go and ask them, what is the best way to start this particular venture? Somebody wants to invest, we'll go to those people who are in the business that, you know what, I need to make an investment. So where's the best place and how do I go about doing? So best. Everyone is looking for the best. And we go to those who we know something about it. We won't go to just some any potato walking on the street and ask him what is the best way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assured us that you have got the best way. And that is in the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he says? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily for you, in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is uswatun hasana, the best way. There isn't a better way than that. Who is saying that? Al-alim al-khabir, the one who is fully informed, the one who fully knows. You won't ask the way to Durban to a fellow who went 10 years ago. We'll ask it to the fellow who's going up and down regularly. He'll know where the speed traps are. He'll know where the potholes are. He'll know whatever he needs to know. Because he knows. So Allah is Al-Alimul Khabir. He is telling us, you know what? The best way, you like the best. You're looking for the best in your worldly. Here's the best for you, for your final dwelling. And that is Jannah. And that is the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my respected friends and brothers, there are just three conditions that we need to keep in mind when we are following the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We call it the sunnah. A lot of times people misunderstand this word sunnah. They give sunnah a different definition as in levels of importance. And where they learned that from? In madrasa. In madrasa they said, you know, you read namaz, it's faraz, can't miss it. Then you get wajib, next to faraz, also not supposed to miss it. Then you get sunnah, sometimes you can miss it. Or something else in namaz is left out. They say, okay, you missed that out, it's okay, it's a sunnah. So, in terms of the fiqh, that's a different discussion. But that gave the idea to some people that sunnah is something we can just get rid of, na'udhu billah. Or sunnah is something that is much less in terms of importance compared to faraz. That is wrong. Every aspect of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is called sunnah. And that sunnah has got those actions that have to compulsorily be performed. So a faraz is also a sunnah because it was done by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A wajib is also a sunnah. And other permissible acts are also sunnah. So we understand sunnah in that way. And this is that word where Allah Ta'ala says, uswatun hasana. Uswatun, the best way is the way of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with three conditions. Not unconsciously. A lot of people, mashallah, they are carrying out the sunnah. But it just, they're just doing it. They don't know that this is a sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one is to create the consciousness, liman kana yarju Allah. Those who have got a hope of meeting Allah. In other words, the path to Allah. We are all walking to Allah. As we're sitting here now, we are on a journey. We're going to Allah. And we must have this consciousness in our mind. I am following the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because I want to meet Allah. And I want to meet Allah in a state that Allah is happy with me and I am happy with Him. So the first thing, yarju Allah. The second thing is consciously follow the sunnah. Wal yawm al-akhir. And I believe in the last day, there is going to be a day wherein I am going to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the Hawd al-Kawthar story. We know the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am following his way because I want him to receive me at Hawd al-Kawthar and give me water with his hands. I want to meet him on the day of Qiyamah. That's why I'm following his way consciously because I need his intercession on the day of Qiyamah. I need to be his neighbor in Jannah. So that is it. Yawm al-Akhir. And the third thing is wa dhakar Allah kathira. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. That means when you are doing that, think of Allah, make the zikr of Allah in whichever way you want to. That I am doing this because this is the command of Allah. Allah said that what? Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. So these are the three conditions, my brothers. We don't treat them lightly. And as we are seated here, you will be surprised how many of us already have practiced so many sunnahs. This morning when we made ghusl, we say it is sunnah to make ghusl on a Friday. Many of us have pruned and preened and cut our nails and whatever. We do it on a Friday because it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very vast. We did so many things. We entered the masjid, we took out our shoes, first the left and then the right, and then we entered with the right foot. It was sunnah, but do it consciously. However, my respected friends and brothers, besides these three conditions, the next question that comes to mind is, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as the best? Why the best? So my brothers, firstly, this is the path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this path here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to love me, and if you claim to love me, and if you want me to love you back, who does not want to be loved by Allah? Is there any person? So you want Allah must not love you? You want Allah must hate you? You want Allah must be angry with you? You want Allah must send down His curses on you? No, no, I don't want to ever hear of that. My Allah must be happy with me. Even when a man is doing sin, he's worried to say, Allah, I'm going to upset Allah. I'm going to make Allah cross. He doesn't want the anger of Allah. He wants the love of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them they must follow the best way. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Tell them, follow me. In other words, in the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that noble sunnah of his, yuhbibkumullah, Allah will love you back. Alhamdulillah. So consciously ask, find out, what am I doing? Am I doing it according to how my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taught? Yes, alhamdulillah. Every sunnah that we have practiced on brings us one step closer to Allah, increases the love of Allah upon us by another degree, alhamdulillah. And that is what our life is about. The day the eyes closed, the day the malaika at our side, our head, to take the ruh out, the day when is the day of the cross over, from this world to the next world, my respected friends and brothers. At that time, those angels come and say, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. Oh, that soul who is pleased and satisfied in fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come now, time for you to go. Such a beautiful way to go. That means the rest of the journey is also going to be good. Further, my respected brothers, so the first thing is that we become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, that by following the sunnah, the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your sins are forgiven. There's a story mentioned in the Quran Kareem. There's a reference to the jinnat. The jinnat once went on a worldwide tour, a fact-finding tour mission, that why are we no longer being allowed to come to the heavens? Why when we go there, we're being blasted with missiles? What are malaika getting rid of us? What's happening there? So the jinnat then went, and they were looking for the reason. So the whole tafsir is mentioned there. And finally, the one group of the jinnat, which is mentioned, they come from Nusaybin, which is in Iraq. They came upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting Quran. And at that time, when they heard it, they said, this is the reason. And all their whole thing is mentioned in Surah Jin also, and as well as in Surah Ahqaf, mentioned is made there. But one of the things they mentioned, which is for us, we know Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a prophet to man and jinn. He's called Nabi al-Thaqalain. That prophet was sent to man and jinn. So they said, now they went back to their people and they gave a report back. And the Quran has reported that. Ya qawmana, O our people, O jinnat brothers, ajibu da'i Allah. Answer and respond to the caller of Allah, that is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if they are saying that you must go and obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and respond to him, jinnat, then we and you human beings, of course, yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us in the first degree. And he said, what will happen? Ajibu da, aminu bihi, believe in him, yaghfir lakum min dhunubikum. Allah will forgive from your sins. وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And Allah Ta'ala will save you from a painful punishment. That is what the benefit is. Another place, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, why must you follow this best way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those people who follow him, Allah says, bring iman upon him, support him, help him. How you help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala and you invite people to Islam in whichever way you can. Just by your beautiful akhlaq, your beautiful character, your one action. You say, this is the way of my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the people that acquire success. Who does not want success? So there's another benefit in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيَ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Allah says, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow him, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, so that you may be guided. We just spoke about the example of getting to Durban on the best road or whichever place you want to go. Nobody wants to get lost. The man or fellow will show you the road, he'll give you the map, he'll tell you, and in the end, what you'll tell him? So I won't get lost, huh? No, you won't get lost, brother. Allah Ta'ala is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. You will not get lost. You will be guided, inshallah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in another ayat of the Quran, that وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey him, follow him, so that you may receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, these are some of the ayat of the Quran which make us realize the greatness and the importance of following the way of that being who is the most beloved to Allah. Why Allah loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most? Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been made by Allah to be that prophet and that being who is going to link up mankind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I have been sent as a messenger of Allah to all of you. That's what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform us, my respected friends and brothers. And when we reach the end, like we mentioned, then where do we want to find ourselves? The end is near for everybody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, the Quran makes mention, the end is not far. So when a person wants to be resurrected, like the other day we read the hadith after Maghribiyah. What was the hadith? The hadith was this, that those people who conduct their business with honesty and with truthfulness and with taqwa, with piety, then those are the people who will be raised with the Anbiya. With the Anbiya, with the prophets. And with the Siddiqeen, the highest stage of saints, the Siddiqeen, the Buzruq, the Awliya, and the martyrs. So we all want to know, how do we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we get up on the day of Qiyamah and find ourselves not in the company of the evil scum of the earth? How will it feel that a person gets up on the day and he sees he's surrounded by all the gangsters and all the murderers and all the evil and the tyrant and the oppressors? So what am I doing with these people here? It's a scary story that. But if he gets up with the Anbiya, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, may yuti Allah wa Rasul, those people who obey Allah and his Rasul, obedience to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sunnah. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَلَمَ اللَّهِ. These are the people Allah ta'ala will favor. What? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. And in Surah Fatiha, the same dua we make, we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Show us the path of those whom you have sent down your special mercy and your special blessings. And that is the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the pious people, the Shuhada, the martyrs and the pious people. Alhamdulillah. So my respected friends and brothers, that is why Allah Ta'ala says this is the best way. And like we said, for everyone, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one hadith, he says that لو أن موسى كان حيا, that if Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be alive and come back, he will have no choice but to follow me. Now, such a great Nabi like Musa alayhi salam, you find the Quran has made mention of him a couple of hundred times. There are so many stories about him. What a great Nabi he was. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but if he comes back, he has to follow my way. Because only in this way here, there is going to be success, there is going to be guidance, there is going to be mercy, and you are going to finally get the love of Allah and reach your destination safely. So my respected friends and brothers, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. He has made the distinction that whoever, man ata'ani faqad dakhala al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kullu ummatin yadkhuluna al-jannah. Every one of my ummah is going to enter into Jannah. Everyone. Subhanallah. Good news. We all the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Illa man aba, except the one who denies me, who rejects me. So the rejection can take place like I mentioned in the starting. Sometimes people have a rejection to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have an aversion to the sunnah. They have a dislike to whatever he has come with. Allah save us, my respected friends and brothers. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all are going to enter into Jannah. And they are those who obey me will enter into Jannah. Those who disobey me are those who have denied me and have deprived me. So the following, last part of the talk, the following of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing complicated. No, we have to go to a major institution to go find out how to follow the sunnah. Subhanallah, from day one when we are born, the adhan is given in our ears. It's such a big history or such an important talk on that particular aspect, which we'll talk another time. The importance of giving adhan in the baby's ears is how now the scientists have found out something. Now they found out, not the other day. But that's not where we're going now. We are following the sunnah. Follow it with love. Follow it with appreciation. Follow it with consciousness, mashallah. It is the way of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one form is this, that we associate or acquaint ourselves with all his sunnahs as informed to us via the science of hadith. The science of hadith is not some nonsense. Somebody just picked up something and said, the Prophet said this, and the Prophet said that, and the Prophet said that. No, na'udhu billah. It is a science that has meticulously, elaborately, carefully, methodically formatted, collected, preserved, compiled, and then disseminated. So when something comes from that science, then through there, if we've got love and we want to know, that's finding out the way, my respected friends and brothers. One. Number two, through the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bi sunnati. Upon you, it is imperative that you follow my sunnah, my way of life. And that is so very, very vast and so broad, my respected friends and brothers. And another way is that in our daily social lives, in our dealings, in our character, we find out how did our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do things. You know, when we, like now, after Maghrib nowadays, we are reading so beautiful ahadith that deal with, you know, Islamic commerce, Islamic business principles. All a year after Maghrib, you listen to the ahadith. And mashallah, one brother just told me, he says, I've been doing so many things, mashallah. He told, last night he tells me, I've been doing so many things, Maulana, and I did not even know. But now when you say the hadith, I'm so happy, I've been guided by Allah Ta'ala. But we need to know. So in our business practices, the other day we heard a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded somebody. Why? Because they had covered up wet grain with dry grain. He said, why don't you let it know to the people? Don't conceal. Don't hide away things from the people. Let the people know. Another hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when your brother comes to you to sell an item which you know he is selling out of desperation, he got no money, he wants to now sell it to you at the lowest price because he just needs that money at that time. Don't buy it from him. Rather, you're taking advantage of a desperate person, and somebody will say, mashallah, I just got a beautiful, mashallah, BMW for 20,000. The poor guy was really, really in need, so I just got a deal. You didn't get a deal. You took care. You took this advantage of a desperate brother. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged that kind of buying. What are you supposed to do? Not buy it. You're supposed to help him or at least give him what the market value of that particular vehicle is at that point in time. That is the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to the character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to dealing and harboring love for family, for friends, for everybody else, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you can get up in the morning, oh my son, said to Anas radiallahu anhu, and if you can have a heart that is clean of rancor and hatredness, a hatred for your brother, then do it. That is my sunnah. Don't get up, you know, somebody has wronged us, somebody has hurt us, somebody did us down, somebody swore us, whatever. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, my sunnah is when you get up in the morning, dil ko saaf rakkar khade ho jao, stand up, you'll be smiling the whole day, you'll be happy, you'll be okay with everything. But you're going to carry this baggage all the time. It's not the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We conclude, my respected friends and brothers. Lots of things we can say are all the sunnah of our beloved. After Maghrib, we do this hadith here every day for the past how many years? It is to introduce the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our brothers. Now you see, when we follow the sunnah, we're following it, mashallah, consciously, unconsciously. Then scientists, they come to realize, they say, you know what? I give you an example quickly. One is public holiday. I'll take a little extra time today. Just not much, but inshallah, you'll enjoy this one. He says, they have got a sleep clinic. You hear of sleep. People who can't sleep, they just can't sleep. And others, they're oversleeping. They also have to go to a sleep clinic. So they did a research. They say there are basically four postures a person sleep, among their papers. Either you sleep flat on your back. They say not a very good posture to sleep on that particular way. Not good for the heart also, not good for the breathing also, and for everything else. And a fellow who sleeps flat, he knows how he snores, and his wife needs to get him out of the room also. The other way is to sleep flat on your stomach. They say that is very, very unhealthy because that really messes up the whole digestive system, the gastric juices, the acid and all that. And that later on leads to a lot of colon problems and digestive problems. Don't sleep flat on your back. They said, I did not say it. They said, don't sleep on your left. Because when you're sleeping on your left, your heart is on the left and you are putting a lot of pressure on the pump now, you know. heart is pumping blood. And then that thing causes a lot of restriction of proper equal blood flow, which is also in connection with the pulse, the heart rate. You know, it's supposed to be 120/80. So they say it causes a lot of restriction. It's not a very good way of sleeping. And they say a fellow who sleeps like that also sleeps very tight. He sleeps too tight because the blood flow is not correct. Now, somebody will say it's nice to sleep tight. I need a good, solid sleep. But you can miss Fajr Salah. And if anything, Allah protect us, something happens, one sound here, there, alarm also might go, we don't know, we're busy sleeping away. Now, we know how the chores are taking advantage of us nowadays. So then they say the fourth way of sleeping is the correct way. Sleep on your right hand side. Now, we learned this when we were small. They come now with an article, a paper. Because the heart has a great amount of ease in pumping the blood. Also, the pulse at that time is very, very slow, and that assists in a very peaceful sleep. And also, it gives a person a sleep where he does not go into a totally deep sleep, but if there's something that happens, he can get up. And he is very well rested because of the oxygen that's going through the heart, into the brain, and the body, everything else. He will not get up tired. He'll get up very, very refreshed, mashallah. So this is just one thing of theirs. And where did we learn this? We all know, we taught it to our children. We all know this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sleep on your right. That is how we learned it. So one is the akhirat benefits of the sunnah. One is the worldly benefits of the sunnah. And my brothers, the other sunnah, these people are coming to find out. They say when a child is born, you know, you must make tahniq. What is this tahniq, putting something sweet? So the British people took out an article about 6 or 7 years ago. They say tahniq, it actually soothes and calms the baby because of the traumatic experience of childbirth. A child was having a good sleep in the mother's womb. 9 months, time to move. So the thing has to be born. It's tiring. It's traumatic. They say it has a very soothing effect on a child if the child is given something sweet. So they say give. So we said, mashallah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give honey or used to give khajur. But there's something else these people haven't picked up still, which we picked up. That the sweet thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to place it was on the palate. On the palate of the child. Why on the palate? Because when the thing is put on the palate, the tongue will make contact with the palate. And that is now going to activate the taste buds of the child, number one. And number two, it's going to teach the child one of the very first things which we all need to know about how to eat. We like to all eat, you know, we're looking for always the best places. So, when the child does movement of the tongue in the palate, the child comes to realize that when I do this, I'm soon going to be suckling on the mother's breast. So, this is the best way to do it. So, the child is being taught already how to eat, and that is in the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And 1,001 other examples you can give, but we don't only look at the worldly benefit. We always say that I am doing it because of my love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ijtima is taking place as we speak now, and the whole effort of the ijtima, my respected friends and brothers, is one thing. The movement for the revival of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The world is looking for solutions. The world has got problems. The world don't know where to turn. We have got the solutions as practiced by us, as taught to us by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us make an effort for the coming days of the weekend also to present ourselves. We can be in the company of those who are making an effort. Whole year, this is just the peak of their efforts, and it starts immediately after that again, where they go from door to door speaking to people that, you know, the Elan we are every Thursdays. Our success lies in fulfilling the commands of Allah in the way shown by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah accept their efforts. May Allah accept all of us and give us a tawfiq of practicing Umar.